Good morning. Got to keep an eye on Mark. You know, I'm glad you finally got the nerve to tell Charlie he's not going to pick on you nearly as much. He's convicted. That's part of it. That's where it starts. You know, last year, Mark started a sermon series on basically country sayings, and he had a good run. We got a tag team or do a sermon in there and that. And this time, what would Jesus not do? And I'm excited about this because there's a lot of things that Jesus would not do. And I thought about that and I didn't know where to start. And Mark just said, you got an empty slate. You just preach on whatever you want to. What would Jesus not do? And I thought about this. Jan, I thought about it. Jesus would not hate cats. You know, Jesus would not hate Chinese food. You know, I would say that, you know, Charlie, Jesus would not pick on Charlie Sunday after Sunday, you know? I mean, you're kind of like an angel. You got a halo and everything. Jamie takes care of you. What would Jesus not do? There's a lot of things Jesus wouldn't do, and today I want to talk a little bit about Jesus would not hold a grudge. Jesus would not hold a grudge, and to get things started off, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6. It's a passage that maybe all of us, maybe even know, some of us know this by heart, maybe some don't. Let's all stand and let's just say the Lord's Prayer together, because that's where we're going to be at today. I put it in the King James Version because, honestly, that's what I memorized it in. And so if I say it any other, anybody like that, you learn kind of how you memorize it in. Anything else sounds kind of weird. So this is the King James Version, and let's just say this together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Do you really want to pray this prayer? Really? Do you really want to pray this prayer? Really? It's a hard prayer to pray if you think about it. It starts off by saying, that means all of you people that are only child and thought you was the only child with God, guess what? You're not an only child anymore. How many only children do we have in here? There's a few of you guys around here. You know, being an only child is great at Christmas time. You get all the presents. There's a bunch of us in our family. It was just, you know, it was crap. But being an only child, you get all the attention. You also get all the chores too. But that's. But you're not an only child no matter where you go. I love to go to Alabama. Erica, you like to go there too, don't you? I love Alabama. And I go to Alabama. I got Christian brothers and sisters in Alabama. I go to Florida, I got brothers and sisters in Florida. I go to Haiti, I got brothers and sisters in Haiti. I go to Africa, I have brothers and sisters in Africa. How about you? No matter where you go, you got family there. How about that? So we say, Our Father, which, everybody looks at heaven as being somewhere beyond the sun, beyond the moon. I look at heaven as being at the center of my universe. And if you can put heaven at the center of your universe, it'll change everything for you. Without the Lord Jesus Christ at the center of the universe, we wouldn't have oxygen today. There's a lot of things we wouldn't have today if he wasn't at the center of our being. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, don't you love that one? Hallowed, holy is what that means, holy. We have a holy God. And then it starts getting tough, Terry. It says, thy kingdom what? Do you really want that? Think about that. Do you really want His kingdom to come? When you get up in the morning time, do you pray about His kingdom or do you pray about your kingdom? Which one you spend all your time praying about? His kingdom or your kingdom? Thy kingdom come, thy what? You really want that? Really? Do you? Maybe on Sunday morning, Lord, I'll have your will. I'll go to church. I'll be there. But do you really want it on Monday? When that person cuts you off in traffic, do you really want His will to be done? Or do you want your will to be done? On earth as it is in heaven. How's God's will done in heaven? You ever thought about that? That's kind of an odd phrase to throw in there. On earth as it... You think any of the angels say no to the Lord in heaven? Do you think when He wants something done, they say, wait on, we're going to wait 24 hours before we get to this. Let's think about it. In heaven, His will is done immediately. How about on earth? How about in your life? Let's make it personal. Is His will done immediately in your life? Or do you sit and think about it? And then it goes on to verse 11. You thought that was hard. It gets to verse 11. Give us this day our... You really want that? Would you really be happy with that? If you had just enough bread for today, give us our what? Daily. Would you really be happy if you just had enough bread for today? Didn't have anything for tomorrow, but just today, would you be happy? Or would you be wringing your hands saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Most of you can make it probably 2 weeks if you ate the canned asparagus tucked in the back of there and some of that Spam. You probably make it a couple weeks with a little ramen or ramen, how you girls say that? And then we get to the hardest line, I think, in the Lord's Prayer, verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we... Oh my. You understand what you're saying when you say that? Do you really understand what you're saying? Lord, in the same way. Lord, in the same way. Think about this, Dan. Lord, in the same way that I forgive other people, that's the way I want you to forgive me. Anybody want to pray that? Lord, in the same way that you forgive, that I forgive, that's the way I want you to forgive me. I'd be in trouble. Anybody else? So when I think about this, Jesus would not hold a grudge. He would forgive. A lot of us have at least in the Johnson family, sometimes the Johnson family, the Willoughbys congregate over here, but behind the Willoughbys sits the Johnson family. The Johnson family, I'm not sure about the Willoughby family, but the Johnson family has a strong sense of justice that happens. Anybody else in here have a strong sense of justice? Oh, you got keeping your hands. Oh, they're kind of creeping up. Mark, what is this? The sneaky hand down here? How many people have a strong sense of justice? Raise them up high. There we go. A few people. Somebody needs to pay when they do wrong. I knew a guy one time that was coming back from college. Stopped in at the famous Taco Bell. He paid his bill with a $20 bill, but the cashier thought he paid with a $10 bill. Now, you need to understand, she shortchanged him $10. Now, to a college student, $10 is equal to $100. That's the way that math goes. And we got some college students here. Raise your hand, college students. Let's raise them up high. High, high, high. Isn't that right? $10 like $100? Isn't that right? I got it. Will says, yeah, I get a thumbs up. Why did I get a thumbs up on that? Yes. Well, they shortchanged him $10, and he pleaded with the cashier, just count your drawer. You'll see that you shortchanged me $10. She wouldn't count her drawer. And so he ate his Taco Bell, and then he'd been out in the woods that day and had a critter in the car, and he went back into Taco Bell. Now, I'm not saying I justify this or anything, but that guy turned loose a flying squirrel in the middle of Taco Bell. A whole new Taco Bell experience for the patrons in there. Now, I'm not saying he was justified in doing that. I'm not saying, but I think he wanted to see a little justice. Do you ever want to see a little justice done? Do you ever want to make somebody pay? Do you ever want to hold somebody accountable? And if you don't get your way, well, you're going to hold a grudge for a little while. We're not going to ask for a show of hands. So when we deal with forgiveness, we got to first understand forgiveness is a legal term. It is a legal terminology. So you got to have to figure out, how did they injure you? What did they take from you? How do they owe you? So when we look at forgiveness, those were some questions that should come to mind. I listened to Andy Stanley's definition for forgiveness, and it changed the whole way I thought about this. And so I think it's really important to get a hold of this. So if you're a note taker, write this definition down for forgiveness. When he said this, it changed the way I looked at it, because I could actually do this. And in hopes that you guys can actually do this as well. Giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me, debt paid, you don't owe me anymore. I'm going to give up my right to hurt you for hurting me, debt paid, you don't owe me anymore. How about that? I was taught forgiveness wrong. Debt paid. I'm not going to hurt you for hurting me. You don't owe me anymore. I was taught a little simpler. I was told to do this. Forgive and? How many people been really good at that? Huh? Just show of hands. How many people have been really good at forgetting? Forever. Never come back to mind totally. I never heard anybody say, you know, I just went through a painful divorce 10 years ago and I forgot all about it. I went through this and it hurt really bad and it caused me emotional pain. And I don't even remember that happening. No, you still remember. Why? Because it caused you pain. And when things cause us pain, we are programmed in such a way that we don't forget it. That's why when you touched a hot burner as a kid or a hot stove as a kid, you didn't do it a second time. It was hot. You remember, it caused pain. You don't do it again. So when things in our life cause us pain, we remember them. Matter of fact, you can go through your body. And you can take me through a history lesson by the scars on your body. That some of them you got when you was real little. And you can say, well, when I was 7 years old, I did this and got this scar. Nobody wakes up and says, hey, I got a 6-inch scar on my belly. I don't know where that come from. Nobody does that. You remember where it come from. I was 17 years old. I was working on a car and I cut a tendon in this hand right here. My mom takes me to the hospital. Doctor comes in. My dad shows up. Him and dad knew each other, and that was a bad deal because him and the doctor knew each other. They started talking right away. And the doctor looked at my dad and said, you know, we really got to put him under to sew that tendon back up. We can numb the skin around it, but we can't numb that tendon up. We really need to put the boy down to be able to sew that tendon back up. And my dad looked at that doctor and said, just go ahead and sew him up. My sweet mama, she stood at the top of the bed and she wiped the sweat off my head. Now, it was 8 stitches, in case you was wondering. 8 stitches he put in that tendon. Why do I remember that? It was painful. I still remember it like it was yesterday. It happened at Dunn Hospital. I could probably take you to the room. When things cause us pain, we remember them. And we laugh about the outside scars. But I got to tell you, the inside scars, and Mark talked about this not too long ago. But the inside scars, I think, is worse than the outside scars we have. Because sometimes those inside scars, they just seem to have a hard time closing. Have a hard time getting away from them. They're there constantly hurting us. That's why you remember the sharp words, even though it's been 50 years. You still remember the mean words that were said in school. A teacher that said something rude to you and was out of place. You still remember. Why? Because it hurt. Other students that said things. It hurt. So you still remember. It's been 30 years ago, but you still remember like it was yesterday. Why? Because it caused pain. Now, I'm probably not going to forget. I'm not programmed in such a way I forget, but I can decide somebody doesn't owe me anymore. How about you? Can you decide that somebody doesn't owe you anymore? It comes out of the mouth kind of easy, but it's hard to do. So I want to give you some steps that might help you in the area of forgiveness. I think it's something, forgiveness is something that we grow in. It's not something you automatically get a hold of and say, oh, I got it today. Beams down on you. First of all, you got to figure out what the person took from you. Remember, it's a legal term. So when somebody hurts you, what happened when they hurt you? Did they take your reputation? A piece of your reputation when they lied about you? Did they cost you friends? Did they cause you emotional pain, physical pain? Did they cost you your childhood? What did they take away from you? And so as you realize what they take away from you, then you can start forgiving them one at a time. They took my childhood, or they cost me some friendships here. These three friendships, it disrupted them. I forgive. They don't owe me for that anymore. I was preaching a sermon one time on forgiveness, and this lady comes up at the end of service, and she says, it's been a year ago. She said, my dad was at home alone, and he just retired. And a man broke in the house and was robbing the house. And my dad caught him, and the man pulled a gun and shot my dad and killed him. She said, where do I start? And so I said, well, you need to start by figuring out what he took from you. And so she spent the next 5 minutes laying out what that man had taken from her. My dad won't be able to walk down the aisle and sit down with grandparents when my daughter gets married. I can't go to my dad when I need him. I can't hear his voice anymore. And for 5 minutes, she listed all the things that that man had pulled a trigger and took out of her life. Now, I don't understand forgiveness at that level. But I realize that we have to acknowledge what they take from us. And just to throw your hands up and say, oh, I forgive. You've seen people do that, haven't you? Well, I don't know. It's impossible to forgive and forget, I think. And like I say, I think money's the easiest thing to forgive. We got a little rental business we have fun with. We got a few houses that we rent out, and people a lot of times will come and talk to me about the rental business. They say, tell me about the rental business. Is it right for us? And I always have the standard answer that I give everybody. And if you've asked me this question, this is what I've told you. If you can't get stuck for $1,000, $1,500 and go to sleep and sleep that night, don't get into it. But if you can get stuck for $1,000, $1,500 and go to bed that night and sleep all right, then you'll be all right. Because it'll all even out at the end of the year, but there's periods of time where you're going to lose money. I was at a gas station, and this young man that had rented from me, he saw me. And buddy, when he left the house, he left owing money. He left big holes in the wall for us. I don't know. Big holes in the wall floor was nasty. It took a long time to get that house turned around. And when he saw me, he turned his back to me and started pumping gas like this. He gets done, and I look at him and say, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I didn't see you there. I said, yeah, you did. That's why you turned around. He said, I know I owe you some money. I'm going to get that to you. And I said, no. I said, don't worry about it. He said, what do you mean, don't worry about it? I said, you don't owe me anymore. It's done. You don't owe me anymore. I said, but I've always been nice to you, so I don't understand why you're turning your back to me and things. I said, so when you see me next time, just stick your hand out and say, hey, Jimmy, how's it going? That's what I want. He said, really? I said, really? Now, I tell you that story because that's the one time I got it right. But there's 100 times I got it wrong, but that time I got it right so I could tell that story. At least once, Donnie. I think money is the easiest thing to forgive. I think these pains of a childhood that was been taken away, I think the pains of innocence being taken from somebody, I think the pains of somebody taking somebody's dad from, that's on a whole different scale than I've ever had to forgive. So, why should we forgive? Why should we not hold on to grudges? Well, first of all, it's a weight. When you choose not to forgive, it is a weight. Anybody ever seen that movie, or not movie, but it's a program that used to be on TV. I don't think it's on anymore. It is The Biggest Loser. Anybody ever see that program, The Biggest Loser? It was about people losing weight. And these people get on there, and it was crazy. They'd lose like 50 pounds, 70 pounds. These people lose all this weight. And at the end of the program, when it'd be down to about four people, and if these four people, they would have to put on these vests that simulated the weight that they had lost. So if they lost 100 pounds, they put on a vest that weighed 100 pounds. If they lost 50 pounds, they put a vest on that weighed 50 pounds. And then they would have to go exercise with that weight on them. And that's what we do to ourselves when we don't forgive. God didn't design you in a way to walk around with the weight of unforgiveness, the weight of holding grudges on people. God didn't design you in such a way to hold that. He didn't mentally design you in a way that you're going to hold on to that and be healthy. He designed you in a way that you need to let that loose and not let people get their hooks in you and stay there for long periods of time. That's why in 1 Peter 5, 7, let's say this together because this is a powerful, powerful verse if you get a hold of it. Let's say it together. Give all. Key word in that is all. We want to give some of our worries and cares to God. God, I'll give you these worries and cares, but I'm going to hang on to these four. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And then when those four drive you to your knees and you can't handle anymore, you give them to them and you get strong again and say, oh, I'll take those four back now if you don't mind. He says, give all your worries. And why does he say give all of them to you? Because he what? Because he cares. He knows. He created you. He knows you're not designed to carry that kind of weight. John 14:1 says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Here's a precious promise to take away the troubles of your heart if you what? Trust in God. If you believe in him. If you lay him at his feet, he'll take the troubles of your heart when you use him in that capacity and trust him with your troubles. Second, it's a second reason to forgive is a condition of your forgiveness. Now, this is a hard one. This is about preaching the whole counsel of the Scripture. We got to talk about all of it. It says in Matthew 6, 14, verse 14, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you, what? Your sins. That stings. That sting? If you don't forgive, well, he doesn't forgive. That's hard. So when we look at forgiveness and forgiving people, we should forgive them because they deserve it, right? They may not deserve it. They may not deserve to be forgiven. We forgive because they're better than us? No, they may not. Has nothing to do with that. Who's better? Who's deserving? The reason you forgive is because you're a forgiven person. That's the reason you forgive. Because God chose to forgive us. He chose to forgive you. And being a forgiven person, that's why we forgive. But we have these conversations with God, don't we? Like God doesn't understand. Lord, you don't know how much they took from me. You know what I'm talking about? Lord, you're asking me to forgive, but you don't understand how much they took from me. And I think he'd look at you and say, you don't understand how much the cross took from me. But Lord, you don't understand. You don't understand how it cost me. And he'd say, you don't understand how much your sin cost me. But Lord, you don't understand. That person keeps doing the same thing again and again and again and again. They keep doing the same thing over and over again. And he'd look at you and say, you know what? You keep doing the same sin again and again and again and again too. You will never in your life have to forgive anybody more than Christ has forgiven you. That's hard to think that Christ has to forgive Jimmy Johnson, that he's forgiven me more than I've had to forgive other people. But it's true. It's true. Thirdly, why forgive? It brings freedom. Doesn't it bring freedom being a forgiven person by God? Doesn't that bring you freedom? Amen? It brings freedom upon our lives. When we look up and know that God has forgiven us, that God loves us and made a way for us. In 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. And let me say it like this as well. It's also freeing when we forgive the people around us. They may not deserve it, but we're following, maybe we're most like Christ when we forgive. And so, as we forgive in the same way that he forgave, it's a hard prayer. It's a hard prayer in Matthew 6 when he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's a hard prayer to pray. Lord, in the same way that I forgive other people, you forgive me that way. That's hard. But when we do, it's freeing for us. Mark, many times, I know you've been asked this question. I've been asked this question. Derek, you've probably been asked this question as well. Charlie, how do I know if I really forgave somebody? Because I remember, because we were taught to forgive and forget. And being I haven't forgotten, have I really forgiven somebody? Let me give you something maybe that'll help. If you truly have forgiven somebody, if you truly have forgiven somebody, you won't be talking about the offense to them anymore. That's something you can do. You can choose not to have that conversation again and again. I'm about ready, Mark. If you truly have forgiven somebody, you'll need to choose not to have that conversation with other people anymore. Not just that person, but Aunt Lulu and Uncle Bob and your friends and all the people that gather around you. You'll choose to stop talking about that in those circles because that debt's been paid. You don't have a right to talk about it anymore, right? If the debt is paid, it's done. So you don't have a right to go complain about that debt anymore because it's off the books. And third thing, if you've truly forgiven the person, when that you're not going to forget, you're going to be reminded. It creeps in and you can say, I forget. No, you're not. God programs you in a way that you remember when things hurt you. You remember when things aren't right. And so when things hurt you and those thoughts come, isn't it amazing how those thoughts come at you? You can be driving down the road and those thoughts just bam, it hits you out of nowhere and you start thinking about that offense. You say, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. So how do I know who I need to forgive? Maybe this is something that'll help you. You know that person you're having that conversation with in your head? You're acting like you don't understand that person. That person you're driving down the road and you're arguing with them in your head. I told them this, and then they said this, and I told them this, and they said this, and I told them this, and I had a good comeback. Boy, in your head, don't you have the best comebacks? Isn't that wonderful? You have the best comebacks in your head? Man, it's a bad day, Connor, when you start losing those arguments in your head. If I start losing those arguments in my head, it's a bad day for Jimmy Johnson. I'll tell you that. Maybe that person you're having those conversations with in your head is a person that you need to start forgiving. Maybe that's where you need to start. As I was getting ready this week to preach this sermon, it took a while, Charlie. There's some things I needed to let go of. There's some things that, just going through life, you kind of hang on to a little bit, and you kind of hang on to this little thing, and you like to bring your mind back there, and boy, once in a while, you give that person a beat down in your mind, and God says, you weren't designed to carry that way. You weren't designed to carry that way. You weren't supposed to carry that way. You're supposed to give that over to Him. You lay it at His feet so that we can give all our worries and cares to Him. Just a minute, I want to have a prayer, and we're going to do things. This is a house of prayer. Amen? I think all of us deal with forgiveness. Amen? It's a relevant topic. I know Jesus wouldn't hold a grudge, and I know that He wouldn't want you to hold a grudge. So maybe there's something in your life you just need to hand over to Him this morning. How do we do that? Well, we start in prayer. And so if you want to come and just lay something at the feet of Jesus this morning, just come and have a seat. We won't bother you. You have your time of prayer this morning. If you want me or Charlie or Mark or somebody to come down and pray with you, just raise your hand. We'll be glad to come to you, pray with you. But it's a time to lay those burdens down, because you're not programmed in a way to carry around that kind of weight. Not one day longer. Why would you, when your Savior says, I'll just take it now. So take the time this morning to come down and just sit down and lay what's on your heart at the feet of Jesus.